And this is what the Spirit said. He said, the information that is necessary for a quick transformation has been taught. And this is what he said. He says, go back through the prophecies, says the Lord. Go back through that which has been taught and meditate. For I've given you the keys, and I've given you the information for the quick transformation that is necessary for what is to come, to be prepared for that which is to come, says the Lord. So be obedient and be diligent in these matters. Give yourself to them, and you will see that the harvest will come forth very quickly, says the Lord. If you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want to follow what God wants to do here. He said, behold, I come like a thief, and I'm coming soon, says the Lord. And the harvest is ripe. So go forth not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, and do that which is right. For I've called you to this hour to be a bold witness for Christ. So pick up your cross and follow me. Humble yourselves and surrender and give up your life. For I've called you to do that which is right, says the Lord. I've called you to do that which is right. And this is what he said. He said, don't allow your unrenewed minds to talk you out of doing that which is right. Just think about that right there. Does he not say in Proverbs 3:5 to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding? Amen. Don't let your minds talk you out of doing that which is right. Amen. You know, today when I sent the text messages out, I walked and it must have just been the right timing. And everybody's walking up the street towards me. And I thought, man, these kids are leaving the high school. So I grabbed the first two and I talked to them just real briefly. I just asked them if they, you know, I invited them to church. I said, do you know what it means to be born again? And they didn't seem to understand what that was. And I said, do you go to church anywhere? And I said, they're Lutherans. And I explained to him, well, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that in order to go to heaven, a man's got to be born again, he said. I said, what that means, and this is what I say to just about every person, I said, what that means is you've made a choice to turn from a lifestyle of sin and give your whole heart over to God. Full surrender. No joking around, just full surrender over to God. Do you feel like you've done that? He said, no, I've never done that. I said, will you pray a prayer with me to do that today? And him and his friend were there. His good friend, he called them. He said, sure, we'll pray with you. I asked the other guy, I said, do you want to pray with us? Will you pray with us? He said, sure, we'll pray. And I prayed, I led him in a prayer of salvation. And then I said, the next step, I said, this is the beginning. I said, your sins, if you meant that prayer, your sins are really forgiven. You're going to heaven. If you die right now, you're going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you really meant that, I said, but it's only the beginning. You cannot go back into a lifestyle of sin. Mm-hmm. I always make it very clear. Because there's a lot of, we've seen it. We had him come through our my old home church. A man came through, he was an evangelist, and he just told the people, all we got to do is pray this prayer with the people. And they literally went out of the church and they went out in the streets and they're knocking on car windows, just having them pray a quick prayer, giving people false hope. Just pray this prayer and you'll be saved. That's all it was to it. But that doesn't give anybody a real foundation to stand upon. It's giving people false hope, because they got to understand that you got to also turn from sin and continue to live for Him. So I told them they need to read their Bibles. I said, but the next step is you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard of speaking in tongues? He said, I've heard of it. I said, you got anything to say about it? He didn't have anything to say about it. Just get it all out in the open. I said, I do. So I said, now's the time to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just explained it briefly. This is a prayer language. You don't know what to pray as we ought. I said, you only know what's going on. You may need gas in your car. You know that much. You could pray for that, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I said, God knows everything, and He'll help you to pray. I said, you're ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just, normally I lay hands on them, but I felt impressed not to lay hands on them this time. So I said, I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. And I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd baptize these young men in the Holy Spirit right now. I pray for your power to come upon them. And I think I had them say, Lord. I said, Lord. And they said, Lord. I said, baptize me in the Holy Spirit and help me to speak in tongues. And that's all they said. And the Spirit of God, I just started speaking. I said, I'm going to speak in tongues in front of you. It may just sound like syllables at first coming out. I said, but don't listen. I said, we live in an analytical world where your mind's got to analyze everything. I said, forget about it. This is not coming from your head. It's coming from your heart. I said, let whatever wants to come out. I said, will you do that for me? I said, will you not listen to your head for just a minute? And he said, sure. So I started speaking in tongues. And both of them, within about 30 seconds, started speaking in tongues right there on the sidewalk. This took about 3.5 minutes to do all this. Because I looked at my clock when I went out the door. It was 12:07. And by the time I was done with the whole thing, I think it was something like 12:13. And this is after the second group. So now I went up, and there was about 4 people walking towards me. And I thought, God, you got to help me here. They're coming left and right. So I walked up to him. I said, hey, I'm Pastor Dan from Facing Church. I'd like to invite you to church tonight. Do you know what it means to be born again? Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I said the exact same thing at them. And the 2 of them walked away. They kind of looked at me and they just kept passing by. They weren't all together. But the other 2, they stood there. And I explained the exact same thing. I said the same words that I told you, just real brief, basic words. I don't even think I quoted 1 scripture to them. Maybe I quoted Acts 2:4. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That's about it. And I just explained it to them. I said, are you ready? And he kind of looked at his friend. I said, you got to be serious about this. I said, God will save you. And they said, yeah, we'll pray with you. So they prayed. They said, Pastor Dan, how do you know they're serious? How do you know they got saved? Because I got them baptized in the Holy Spirit and I heard them speaking. They were speaking in tongues. Amen. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, at Cornelius' house, Peter said, can anyone stop these men from being baptized at water? They've received the gift of the Holy Spirit just as we have. And then later when he explained it, he said that God showed that he accepted them. He purified their hearts by faith, by giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's evidence that they're definitely really in their heart meant that prayer, if they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If people reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit afterwards, I found personally from dealing with enough people, that typically the people that reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's something else they're holding on to. And God does that as an evidence that they're not really saved. They're not ready to let go of something at home and they're not telling you the whole story. And later tonight when I took my dog out again, I was listening to my Bible and another woman come. Book. She's running up the other side of the street, so I kind of dragged my dog along and went up and I bolted across the street and went back up the other way. And I started to talk to her, and she seemed kind of, you know, just real strict with her words. And I explained to her, and she said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I asked her some questions. She says she's very spiritual. She said, I read my Bible every day. I said, where do you go to church? She says, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I said, oh yeah. I said, what's the difference between that and what I believe? She said, well, we believe that Jesus died and resurrected from the dead, but we don't practice all the pagan holidays you Christians practice. I said, well, I don't practice them either. I said, not all Christians practice that. And she said, and we also witness to people, but Christians don't witness to people. I said, I'm witnessing to you right now. I witness to people. You see? And then I said, do you speak in tongues? And that's where the rubber met the road. She said, speaking in tongues is not for today. There's a scripture that says it's not for today. I said, the scripture does not say that. And at that point, she got mad at me. And she said, yes, it does say that. And she just quickly bolted back down the road. She didn't want to hear truth. That's the difference between a Jehovah Witness and a Christian, is because when you start breaking down the scriptures, if someone knows the scriptures and keeps them in context, they don't want to hear them in context. They want to hear them out of context to twist God's word to bring you into their deception. It's a spirit of religion, a very strong spirit. That's the difference. It's very subtle, but it's very strong. It's a strong religious spirit. They don't want to hear truth. They want to hear religion. Everyone say religion. There's a difference between real religion and false religion. When we speak religion, typically we're talking about the false religion. He said the religion that God accepts is pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows under distress and to keep oneself from being polluted with the world. James 1:27. That's, you know, another, James 1:26 said, if anyone considers himself religious yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So there is true religion, but there's also false religion. If you follow through the Gospels, you can see very clearly that the Pharisees and the Sadducees contended with Jesus over the Scriptures. They believed in the same God, Jehovah. They believed in a coming Messiah. But when it come down to the Scriptures, Jesus had to continually ask them, have you never read? Have you never read? As if they didn't understand the Scriptures. He said, you diligently study the Scriptures because by them you believe that you possess eternal life. He said, these are the Scriptures that testify concerning me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. Amen. So Jesus was the living Word of God, and when the Spirit of God, everyone say the Spirit of God. Spirit. He said, my words are spirit and they are life, John 6:63. When the Spirit of the Word stood before them through Jesus, they rejected that truth. They were following the letter of the law, but they didn't have the heart. That's why Jesus said, he said, go and learn what these words mean. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He said, if you understood that, you would not have condemned the innocent. They walked around trying to condemn everybody. That's what they tried to do. They tried to condemn everybody. And even though it says that, you know, when they met at the sinner's house, it says the Pharisees that belonged to their sect. The Pharisees belonged to their sect and they complained and says, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That means they belong. In other words, they were discipling the tax collectors and sinners, but they were in it for the money. That's what they were doing. It says they belonged to their sect. That means that when Jesus wasn't around, they also hung around with them, but no doubt they allowed him in there and took their money. But when it came down to it, they said, Jesus, why is Jesus hanging around with them now? They were upset because he's about to take their source of supply. That's what they were probably thinking in their minds. We don't want to get too far off. But they were very religious. He said this, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. A hypocrite is an actor. A hypocrite is someone who could act very spiritual in front of groups of people. But when it's behind closed doors, they don't really put their religion into practice. They don't practice the Word of God. They like to hear the Word of God. They enjoy hearing the Word of God. But when it comes to putting into practice and having the heart of God within them, it doesn't work that way. So Jesus called them hypocrites. They're actors in his mind. The Pharisees, in order to be studied to become a Pharisee, they would meditate for 3-hour segments. They would meditate for 3 hours or memorize scripture for 3 hours. Then they would pray for 3 hours and they go back into 3 more hours of meditation every day, 9 hours a day. Amen. That's pretty good practice, but they did it in public. They like to be seen of men. A lot of Christians like to act real spiritual when it's in front of men, but behind closed doors they don't act it. That's the spirit of religion. Amen. We got to be holy all the time. So Jesus said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips. They honored God with their lips. He says they did. But their hearts are far from me. He said, they worship me in vain. So they honored him with his lips. They worshiped him also, but it was in vain. Your teachings are but rules taught by men. He said, you have a fine way. He said, you've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. He said, you've got a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Now, with the body of Christ, things are very subtle, but right now, what you're looking at popping up in Walmart parking lots overnight and thousands of people flocking to these churches is a form of religion. They don't believe, a lot of those denominations, they don't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit or holy living. And if you told them that we have to live a sin-free holy life, they would mock you. They don't believe in that kind of behavior because they don't believe the Word. They like the idea of the Word. They like Jesus. They like the idea of Jesus, but they don't know Him. That's the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. A lot of people, you know, Paul talked about if they preach a different Jesus. Remember he said that? And if they preach a different gospel and a different spirit. So there is a Jesus out there, but it's a different Jesus. There is a spirit out there, but it's a different spirit. And there is a gospel out there, and it's a different gospel. The real gospel is one to be obeyed. He said, you know, in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, he said he will punish those who do not obey God and who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is to be obeyed. Well, I thought the gospel is just Jesus dying and resurrecting. No, from Matthew to Revelation is the gospel, every word in it. Paul said that he preached the gospel. Amen. You know, he said, I myself am convinced, my brothers, you are yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. He said, I've written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sanctify. Sanctify, that means separate from the world through the gospel. And then he says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me and leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I fully proclaim. I would say fully proclaim. Fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. Why? How? By miracles and signs and wonders, he said. That's Romans 15:15-18. So the gospel is not being fully... A lot of churches, they even put it on their thing out there. When Pastor Dan, you're just bashing all the churches. No, I'm exposing darkness. When anybody refuses to submit to the easy to understand words within that book, they're rebels against the Word of God. Just like Adam and Eve became rebels against truth. Amen. He tells us not to even associate with them. Why? Because something's wrong at their heart. Why? Because they have the spirit of religion. Why? Because they're imposters, he calls them. He says this in 2 Timothy 3:12. He says, in fact, we could just quote the whole chapter and explain this to you, but he's pointing towards the Word of God through the chapter. He says the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine in chapter 4, right? But in chapter 3, he describes the whole scenario and he paints it through, but it already began in chapter 2. He says those who oppose the preacher, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Thy word is truth, right? And that they, those who oppose, will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who's taken them captive to do their will. Now, if the devil's taken someone captive, do you think that they're a child of God? No. Children of God, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've overcome them, he said. Amen. He said, we know that we are the children of God, that the whole world's under the control of the evil one. So the world is under their control. 1 John 4:4 and 1 John 5:19. So he says that they can escape from the trap of the devil who's taking them captive to do his will. And then verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he says this, but mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People be lovers of themselves. Now he's not talking about in the world. They already were lovers of themselves. He described that in Romans chapter 1. He's talking in the church. He says, mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited. Not lovers of the good, he mentioned. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the prophecies you see, the words of knowledge, laying on of hands, the prayer lines and all these things. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And then he says this, have nothing to even do with them. You can't mix light with darkness. We can't go down a level to compromise for other people. They need to come up to the level of the book. Amen. There can't be any... Our opinions mean absolutely nothing. The only thing that matters is what the book says. He said in 1 Corinthians 4:6, he said that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond that which is written. Don't go beyond the Word of God. Stick with the Word. Amen. You know, God told me one time that a lot of these churches, He gave me this, He said, they are nothing more to be than secular motivational speakers who use scriptures for reference. And if you go listen to a secular motivational business speaker, they got the same message as him, and they're using scriptures mixed in with it. But the problem is they don't have the heart of God. Everyone say heart of God. And then he says this. We might as well open your Bible since we're moving in this direction. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, let me just find out where I left off here. He says, have nothing to do with them. Verse 6, they are the kind that worm their way in the homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. So they're always learning about the Word, but they're never able to actually let it penetrate their hearts where they enter into Christ. What happens is instead of spiritually discerning, everyone say spiritually discern. Spiritually. He says this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, the natural man or the unspiritual man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Word of God is a spiritual book. This is not like every other book on your shelf. This book is supernatural. It is not intellectually understood. And when you got wise, intelligent people, God said He uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, doesn't He? It says the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is wiser than man's strength. He said, consider what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were of noble birth. Not many were influential. He said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He's chosen the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, that no man may boast before Him. He said, it's because of Him that you're in Christ Jesus, who's become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, somewhere around verse 20. So now, when you got wise people of the world, they've college bred, they've been through college, they're very highly intelligent, and they grab a hold of the Bible, they can open that thing up and they can study it, but if they're not willing to obey it, their intellect can override the Spirit of God. And they misinterpret the Scriptures because they're trying to intellectually interpret the Word of God. It's not interpreted with your mind. It's interpreted by the Spirit of God. And until the Holy Spirit gets involved with your reading of the book, you will always misinterpret the Word of God. You have to let the Holy Spirit work within you. And that's what you see. And these wise, intelligent men grab a hold of the Bible and they'll just about meditate and memorize the whole thing. And then they decide, you know what, God's called me to preach, because they may sense a genuine call. But because they've not prepared themselves by the Holy Spirit and they jump behind the pulpit, now you have someone who is very intelligent with a great personality and lots of charisma preaching the Word of God to you from intellect and not from the Spirit of God. Therefore, he's creating disciples after himself, which are deceived. And you'll see that in the Scripture. It's happening all over the place. And why is it happening? Because we live in an intellectual generation. An analytical, everything has to be analyzed with the natural mind. And if it has to be understood any other way, it's rejected. If we can't figure it out, so they say the miracles aren't for today. They say the tongues aren't for today. The woman today said. They say all sorts of things that are absolute lies. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:18. And he combined that with Mark 16. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. What signs, Jesus? In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. Amen. Speak in new tongues. He said, they'll pick up snakes with their hands. That's authority. That's not snake handling. So you've got to combine that with Luke chapter 10 where he says, behold, I've given you... I saw Satan cast like lightning from heaven, he said. Behold, I've given you power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He didn't say, run around and pick up snakes and stamp on their heads. That's not what he said to do. He's talking about the devil. Amen. Same thing he said over there in Luke 10, 18 and 19. He said, they'll pick up snakes with their hands. He said, if they drink deadly poison, not when. You don't go run around drinking Clorox, no. He said, Jesus also said, don't put the Lord to the test, didn't he? People get all sorts of dumb ideas in the head and do things, hurt themselves. He said, if they drink deadly poison. In other words, if you eat something and your stomach starts feeling off, you were at the restaurant, maybe it was a buffet restaurant, and you're thinking, man, what if I got some thing in me? You say, in the name of Jesus, I claim immunity. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've done that and the symptoms have left. Amen. I see sick people around me. I say, I claim immunity in the name of Jesus. It will not come near my dwelling. Amen. It works. I just walk around and see him, sees, I say, I'm healed. Not coming near me. Not taking it. I'm healthy. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from loss and death. That's my favorite scripture when people are sick. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death. Sickness is a form of death working in the body. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Not coming near me. I am healthy and I'm going to stay healthy. It's not going to work in my body. Amen. I'll keep saying it. Every time I even think, a thought comes in my head, what if you get sick? I say, law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Just replace that thought with God's thoughts. Amen. That's what he said to do. Now, intellectually discern. You can't intellectually discern God's word. God's word is spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14 again. Spiritually discerned. It's not intellectually understood. So when you've got someone standing behind the pulpit and they are teaching the word of God and they don't have the Holy Spirit working within them, that means that that man or woman of God is reliant solely upon their intellect. And that's a dangerous place because that's the enemy's realm. And when they're completely reliant upon their intellect, that means that they're intellectually discerning God's word. And, you know, they're teaching you light that is not light. They're feeding the flock of God light that is not light. Jesus said, if the light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So it's really darkness cloaked in light. It appears to be light. It's in the form of deception. And the person himself is deceived. And because he's deceived, now he's teaching you things. And you, ignorantly, are being deceived. You don't know it because you trust the guy. He's a nice guy. He's nicer than the Pentecostal preacher up the street that preaches all the word. He's nicer than him. He doesn't yell at me or nothing. I mean, he loves me. He gives me a big hug. He greets me every time. Everything's perfect, right? But he's feeding you poison. You see? Now, let's take a look at this here. He says, they are the kind that worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. So they're learning about the Bible. They're learning about God, but they're never able to let it enter into their heart. It's only getting in up here. He says this, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth. Isn't that what he said in the last chapter, 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26? He says, those who oppose him. He says, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So he's talking about the word of God still. He says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. Now you're thinking, well, as far as the faith is concerned, well, who knows that? Look at the King James Version, the way he words it here. Verse 8, he says this, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. In other words, when it comes to the original faith doctrine and decrees of the early apostles, as it was set forth in the scriptures, if you were to line them up concerning the original faith, they're reprobate, they're separate. It's clear. You think, well, it's not clear to everyone. That's because most people don't know how to interpret God's word nowadays. Why? Because they just run around taking a bunch of scriptures out of context. They don't apply themselves like a student and meditate the whole entire book over and over. Why? Because we're lazy. Why are we lazy? Because we just push buttons at work and everything's easy. I mean, that kid, just about a little over 100 years ago, if you told him, see, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, can I get a piece of rock candy from down at the corner store? And say, yeah, you chop wood for me all week and help me build the shed so we can survive this winter, son. We're going to give you a piece of rock candy. And that kid would gladly do it. Nowadays, you tell the kids to take out the garbage while they're playing video games. They say, you foolish flesh creature. You honestly think I'm going to take out the garbage because you asked me to? And then they throw a fit. They give you a hard time about it for 3-4 hours, and after much screaming and crying, after you threaten them to ground them for 2 weeks, they finally take it out, and then you don't follow through with what you said. And because you don't ground them like you told them, then they know that they're going to get away with it again. As the kids do today, they're very clever. Very evil clever. Evil kids. Wicked. Disobedient to their parents, he said earlier. Should not be in the church. Now he says this, reprobate concerning the faith, verse 9, but they will not get very far, because in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Really? The King James Version says this, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all as theirs was also. Now, when it says manifest unto all, he's talking about when Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses to the rest of the assembly that at that time wanted to obey God and have the Word of God preached to them. They knew the Word of God. They knew the commands of God. So he's comparing, he's saying the real true church of God should be able to interpret what's going on when they see these people, but most people can't. Why? Because we're at the last seconds right before the rapture. Most people are completely just, they're just running around saying, yeah, the Bible means whatever we want it to say. Everybody's interpretation is as good as another. What kind of stupid God would he be if that's how God was? You know, I shouldn't have to put it in such strong words, but that just to your natural mind to grasp it, God would have to be dumber than you are. God is the most intelligent being in the entire universe, and he knows how to say what he means and mean what he says. There's no need to interpret the Bible. Amen. Or else why did he say, don't go beyond the meaning of that which is written? Yeah. It means what it says. When he says, if the soul that sins shall die in Ezekiel 18:20, that's what it means. If he says, the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, then we keep it in context because through Jesus Christ the Lord in Romans 6, he said we've got to be a slave to God. Amen. A slave to righteousness. That's through Jesus Christ the Lord. It's not just, oh, the wages of sin is death, but just confess Jesus' name and everybody's going to be saved. If that were true, then why has the church come down to the level that it has over the last few generations? I can tell you why. Because the preachers are asleep. Why are they sleeping? Because they're lazy dogs, lazy shepherds, he said in Isaiah. They don't know how to bark. There's no bark in their mouths. They're not willing to rebuke the people and correct it. But he told us preachers, he said, correct and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anyone despise you. In other words, you're just like God's mouthpiece, daughter. You just go take charge of the situation. He said, those who oppose you to gently instruct us, and your people come up to you and they oppose you after the service, then we gently instruct them. But behind the pulpit, we're supposed to tell you how it really is. You were never meant to water it down. Why do they do that? I can tell you why. It's greed. It's money. Greedy for gain. Numbers. Numbers. Gotta build a big church. You know, Michelle was, I don't know what she did to my email, but I got all these emails from something to do. All these churches are sending me these emails to my Face Victory email. All sorts of emails just blowing up. And I got one that said, how to grow your church in 30 days or something like that. And I looked at it and I got a check in my spirit. I said, nope. Because if I couldn't already find it in God's Word, you think I'm going to listen to some man tell me some baloney? That's the kind of schemes that they're running out there trying to do numbers, trying to fleece the sheep and take advantage of you for money. To grow their numbers. They want numbers. They want money. They don't want souls. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Mark 8, 35 and 36. What good would it be if I got up here and preached you a nice, warm, fuzzy message and didn't warn you against your sin and you go home and live in it and go to hell anyways? What good would that be to you? Wouldn't done nobody any good. Why do they do it? Because they care more about church attendance. They care more about you liking them than they care about God. The word is not in them, he said. He said the prophets don't have the word in them. Now, listen to this. He says, verse 10, now he's comparing, he says, you, however, Timothy, the young 23-year-old, most likely somewhere around 20-year-old pastor that I'm teaching, you, Timothy, he said, you, however, know all about me, Paul. You know all about my teaching. Well, what was Paul teaching? Well, he wrote 3/4 of your New Testament. You know he was teaching the Word. He said, what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. If the Apostle Paul got up and preached to you today, do you honestly believe that he's going to teach one of these warm, fuzzy messages? No, he'd get up and read 1 Corinthians to you. He'd say, you carnal believers, this is what you're going to do now. You're going to obey God. We're going to get the sin out of our lives. We're going to speak in the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray in tongues. We're going to operate the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to come together in unison. Wives, don't divorce your husbands. Husband, don't divorce your wife. We're all going to come. He'd give you all the same rules he gave you in that letter. How do you know that? It's a long sermon. No, it's only about a 50-minute sermon. He'd tell you exactly, or if it was a religious church, someone trying to, in the Jewish nation, so trying to go under law, he'd go read Galatians to them. Ephesians, Colossians. That's what he would do. He wouldn't preach anything different. And they're preaching all this. They put displays up there. They put plays on for you. You think Jesus walked around putting plays on for the people? You think that did anybody a favor by putting a play on for you? Do you think it does your children a favor to bring the Word of God down to a lower level and turn God into a puppet? You honestly believe that the church is going to raise your children? Because I just heard somebody recently saying it. I have no pulpit with them, but they said, yeah, our first daughter sat in the pew and she was obedient when it came to sitting in the regular church. But the other younger daughter, she went into the children's church, and when we tried to bring her in the regular church, she couldn't sit still. Did you no favor? Didn't learn anything. He said this. He said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're not supposed to water it down. He said, with all wisdom. He said, right here he says, in verse 10, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings for the word of God. The Apostle John said, I was banished to the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God and the testimony about Jesus. Because of the Word of God. He said that, he said, humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that I may exalt you in due time, says the Lord. For it's humility that allows me to teach your heart. But if you allow a veil to cover your heart, if you put up a wall and don't allow my truth in, how can I teach you, says the Lord? So be humble and like a little child, accept truth. Can you not discern truth? Have I not given you the divine nature of God that gives you the ability to reject that which is evil and discern that which is good, says the Lord? So continue to receive truth and receive that which is true, says the Lord. Now he says here, he describes his teaching, his way of life, his purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. Now pay attention. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. He mentions persecution, sufferings. He says persecution. You can read about that through the book of Acts. He says, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them, just like he rescued us from all of them. And then he says this to describe it, because he's talking about the Word. He hasn't changed the subject. Never take a scripture out of its proper setting to form a doctrine. He's talking about the Word of God. Look at verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life. Everyone say godly life. Godly. Would you consider most claiming Christians' lives godly? Would you put them in a classification with God? You classify them as godly people? Why is that? Hypocrites. They don't live it outside of the church. It's a form of religion. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Now he says here, in fact, everyone, in other words, I'm suffering these persecutions because of the Word of God. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I don't understand. I'm trying to live this holy life, Pastor Dan. Why all these bad things happen to me? Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, he said. While evil men and what? Imposters. Imposters. Evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. No. See, he says, look, those who want to obey God's word, they want to hold to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you know, it says to those who believed on him, it says in John 8, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. They said, we're not slaves to anyone. How can you say you'd be set free? He said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. He's trying to tell them, you got to turn from sin. He said, look, Jesus, didn't you not tell Nicodemus that all we got to do is, he that believeth on him shall be saved? You said, Jesus, we believe on him. We believe in him. He says, look, the word. He said, you got to continue in my word now. The word's got to enter into your heart. He said, we're not slaves. He said, you know what? Only father we have is God himself. He said, are we not saved? He said, you're of your father, the devil, he said to them. Why? Because they were slaves to sin. And they said, we're not of the devil. He said, you know what? Are we not right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed, Jesus? So they said, we're not of the devil. You're of the devil. How dare you tell us because we have sin in our lives, we're the devil. You said to Nicodemus, you told him we just believe that's enough. He says, no, you got to continue in the word. The word will set you free. Otherwise, you're going to be of the devil. They got so mad at him, they tried to kill him, tried to stone him. The word's got to enter in. Just confessing Jesus and running around Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is not enough. We need to live the holy life in the book. A lot of people won't preach that to you because they're not willing to suffer the flesh enough to do what it takes to do it themselves. Nobody, no preacher can ever take you farther than they themselves are willing to go. No preacher will dare to teach you further than they were willing to go themselves. But I believe that in this generation, God's raising up a lot of real men and women of God who are willing to do what it takes, and we're going to raise up an army for Christ that's going to live a holy, godly life. I believe it's coming to pass right as we speak. Amen. All over the world. Amen. We're not the only ones out there. Amen. I can guarantee you, I just know in my spirit that there are others out there. And they are living this book. They could not find what they were looking for in the world. Nothing could satisfy them. And they said, you know what, I'm just going to take the challenge, Jesus. And I'm going to do what that word says. Amen. They're out there. I believe it. Now he says here in verse 13, While evil men and imposters, everyone say imposters, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So you're either going to have someone who lives a godly life, and the end result is you're going to be persecuted either by the devil or by flesh, empowered by the devil. And he says either that or you're going to be an imposter that is deceived. How do you know the word deceived? Well, he said this in James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if we hear the word but we don't do it, like I said time and time again, the word will either do one or two things. It's either going to convict you and you're going to choose to obey it. You're going to allow it to convict you, or it's going to harden your heart. You're going to hear it and it's going to harden your heart. And the more you hear it and refuse to surrender to what it says, your heart will get harder and harder, and you're going to become religious like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, running around misinterpreting the whole Bible. And then he describes this. He says, but as for you, he takes them back to the word. Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned. What did he learn? And have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And that's from his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice. He described that in another book. He says this, and how from infancy you've known the what? The Holy Scriptures. So what did he learn? He learned the word. He says, look, I continue in the word. I practice. I live a godly life, and I'm persecuted. He says, look, Timothy, you continue in what you've learned, the Holy Scriptures. Continue in the word. And to make it even clearer, to prove to you that's what he's talking about, look at this. He says, how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And he's not talking about the New Testament Scriptures. Did Timothy have the New Testament? No, he didn't have they didn't have the New Testament until years later. He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures pointing towards Christ. Think about that. He says, you go on and teach. And then he says, all Scripture. That's the Word of God, the Bible. All Scripture. Every word in this book, is, if it's a verse 1, verse 2, it's a Scripture. All of it. All Scripture is God-breathed or given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, reproof, that's reproving it to the people. We often do that. We bring it back to your remembrance. Reproof. Correction. And instruction in what? Righteousness. That's holy living. Righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. Everyone say perfect. Perfect. We can't be perfect, Pastor Dan. A woman said that. Jehovah's Witness woman said, I said we need to strive for holiness or something like that. She said, we'll never be made perfect in this life. I said, it's a lie. I said, Jesus said, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. I said, do you believe in speaking in tongues? She said, that's not for today. She got mad at me. It's hard in her heart. It's very nice to her. Now he says this, so that man of God may become thoroughly equipped for every good work, may become perfect, the King James Version says. Amplified Version says, complete and proficient. Complete, fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You can't become perfect, Pastor Dan. It's a lie. You'll never be perfect till you get your glorified body. It's a lie. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to strive for perfection like Jesus said. Amen. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe, so you just sit around and don't want to grow and mature. He loves it when people believe that lie. Absolute lie. Lie, 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 lie. He said, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. How can he say stuff like that? It doesn't mean you got to read between the lines. That's exactly what the devil told Adam and Eve, didn't he? You got to read between the lines. Did God really say? God, he just turned. He used the scripture. He used what God had said. He just twisted it a little bit. A little tiny bit. He used the same thing God said. Did God really say? God really say? And he just twisted it a little bit and it caused the fall of all humanity. Just a tiny little bit. You think it's okay to run around and twist scriptures? Forget about it. We got to stick to the word. So the man of God may be perfect. May be perfect. May be perfect. May be perfect. You can't be perfect. May be perfect, it says. Not going to listen to you. You're a liar if you don't believe God's word. He says, the man that says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. I'm not going to listen to liars. Right? We're going to stick with the word. Man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. You never get perfect, Pastor Dan. You really, that one girl cursed me and cussed me for probably 3-4 minutes at the bus stop because I told her that we could be perfect in this life. She cursed me. And she told me just 2 minutes before that, she told me she was a Christian. And she cursed and cussed and said the most horrible things to me. And I just stood there and I smiled. I just, inside, all I could think is, man, I'm so in love with this girl. I love her. I just love her. Oh, do I love her? Just the love of God rolls up in me, and I just loved her so much. I said, are you done? I said, I'm not going to listen to you cuss and curse me. I've got to go now. I said, but you got to stick with the Word of God, and I walked away. You got to stick with the Word of God. And then he says in the next verse of 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's continuing on with that thought. He says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Correct. 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 Rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And then he tells them why. Because the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, that's God's Word, again, and turn aside to myths, that's man-made doctrine. Now, if Satan knows that people are very smart, he knows that people are smart, he's not going to come with a pitchfork and a red cape. He's not going to do that. But what he is going to do is he's going to find some man or woman who likes the idea of God and believes in God and has all these ideas about the Word, but is not willing to act upon the Word of God, who's hard in their hearts, and he's going to use them as a spokesman. Can you prove that with the Scripture? Absolutely. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he said, but I fear lest by any means as Satan has deceived Eve by his subtlety, it says. Subtlety, that means it's not easy to detect. Another place he says, Jude said that certain men have secretly slipped in among you. Godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality. Now, if he had to tell them about it, that means they didn't know. Would anybody let themselves be deceived if they knew they were being deceived? Absolutely not. Nobody on the face of the earth would say, I want to be deceived. That means they didn't know. He said they secret. Jude had to tell them, look, there's men who secretly slipped in among you. And if he had to tell them, that means they didn't even know it was happening. Amen. Which means if they didn't know it was happening and they were intelligent people, that it had to be something so subtle that even your average trained man or woman of God would not be able to detect it. Must have been so deceptive. Why? Because Satan's a father of lies. He's the best liar. He studied humanity for over 6,000 years since we've been around. He knows what can deceive people. Amen. Well, Pastor Dan, is there any hope? Absolutely. Take this book and listen to it over and 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 over. Amen. Why? Because you're going to build a foundation for truth. This is truth. Before we're born again, a lot of the stuff we enter into is a lot of lies and subtle deceptions. But when we start to fill our heart with truth, the Holy Spirit will be able to work through the inner witness and go off with an alarm in you when someone presents something to you and it's not true. Now, I may present things to you and it may make you mad, but that's your flesh. I'm talking about in here, in your spirit man. Amen. The hidden man of the heart, he calls it. So he says that, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, again, verse 13 through 15, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workmen, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as a minister of, as an angel of light, he says. Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light, not an angel of darkness. That means he's in the form of deception, isn't he? Yeah. He said it's no great thing then if his, Satan's ministers, he called them ministers of righteousness, so they're preaching the Bible. He said it's no great thing then if his, Satan's ministers, should masquerade as the ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, they're not getting away with it. This is the same thing. I'm contending against those who are not teaching truth. If you read 2 Corinthians, you don't see it in the beginning of the letter, but at the end of the letter, Paul reveals what he's really trying to say, and he says, look, he says, even though you got 10,000 guardians or teachers in Christ, he said, you don't have many fathers. He says, I become your father. He says, therefore follow me. He had the audacity to say, I'm the one you should follow. I'm the one that holds the standard. I'm the one that's got the word in me. Amen. He says, follow me, he says. The rest of these guys, watch out for them. Because the reason he had to say that is because if you read 1 Corinthians, that church had been caught up in a whole bunch of sin. And if you follow through both letters, you'll see the reason they were caught up in sin is not for no reason at all, but because of the doctrine that they were being taught from behind the pulpit was permitting it. The shepherds were asleep. And it reveals their motivation. It was because of greedy for gain. Greedy for gain. If you want to study and find out how greedy they were, just read the book of 2 Peter. He talks about it. It's for money. They did it for fine. They wanted for money. Always. Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14. He said, all are greedy for gain. All practice deceit. All are greedy for gain. And that's not just gain for money. That's also gain to grow what appears to be the success in the eyes of men. A big church. Because if you tell somebody, I go to Blackhawk Church in Madison, and everybody goes, whoa, man, they got Starbucks up in there, and there's four services going on, and it's got like three, four parking lots, and everybody thinks that that's God's church because it's successful according to man's standards. But that's not God's standards. God's standard is sticking to the book. Amen. That's how God operates. He does not judge the way we judge. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Amen. This church is, I'll tell you who we're very popular with. Angels in heaven rejoice over what being taught up in here. Amen. They love us. God loves us. Why? Because we're willing to be corrected. We're willing to just let the sword, the word of God, cut us all up and break us down and build us back up so we can go out. And how do you know, Pastor Dan, that it's working? Because you guys keep bringing people to church. Amen. I've been to churches before. There ain't nobody bringing people to church. They all sit there. You guys go out. I hear testimony after testimony. We got people raising the dead up in here. Amen. Miracles. Praying for the sick. And people come back. You guys aren't even maybe not called to preach yet, and you're coming to me telling me you're healing sick people and raising the dead and literally raising the dead. Amen. So I know that it's working. Why? Because the word's working in you.
Amen.
Testimony after testimony. Lost my wallet and we prayed, we got it back. Got this. All these prayers being answered.
Amen.
He says the Lord looks upon the righteous. He says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those that are evil. So he's listening to us. Why? Because we obey his word. Why do we obey his word? Because we put the word at the highest standard. The highest standard. We tremble at his word. We fear God. And that's what he needs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. See, we don't have any knowledge or wisdom until we fear God. Jesus said, don't fear men. We need to talk about that. We need to get set free from our fear of men so we can be even bolder witness. He said, but I will tell you whom you should fear. He said, fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear, yes, I tell you, fear him. That's Luke 12, 4 through 6. Fear him, he says. If you follow through the book, you say, well, that's not New Testament. That Jesus taught that.
Amen.
He said, make disciples and teach them everything I command you. Teach them the fear of the Lord. If you study through the book of Isaiah, it says he will delight. Jesus will delight in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
He will delight. And you know, I believe it's Malachi chapter 3. It says, when he comes, who can stand his burning, it says about Jesus. Why? Because he went in that one man's house. The guy invites him over to dinner and Jesus just tore them apart. Every one of them. Just read, I believe it's Luke chapter 11. He exposed so much darkness by the time they're done, they were all speechless and they all wanted to kill him. And he invited them over for dinner. Why? Was he trying to make them mad? No. But what he was trying to do is love them by correcting them. Because they were in an error. He said, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. And because he kept on correcting them, they got mad about it because they were not willing to allow the word in. They were not willing to allow the word to work in them, but they were allowing it to harden their hearts. They weren't willing to do what Jesus was saying. Here we have the living, breathing word of God standing before them, speaking the rhema word of God into their hearts. And they were not allowing it to penetrate in, but they were putting a guard up. It was hitting their hearts and falling to the ground. Callousing. A callus forms from repeated friction, right? We studied that a little bit. The word keeps hitting the heart, and if people sit in the church, and the word keeps hitting their heart, but they refuse to obey it and not start to practice it and put everything into practice, they start to form a callus on their heart, and eventually what happens is they become religious. What is religious? Religious people reject truth. Because they've hardened their hearts. They weren't willing to let the truth enter into their hearts. And Satan took them captive to do his will. And they may look outwardly like a Christian. They may look good, but they're really, on the inside, they're imposters. Amen. They used to say, it's so hard to detect it. How can anyone detect it, Pastor? You got to know the word so you can discern a lying spirit, the spirit of truth, and the spirit of falsehood. Amen. Talked about in 1 John. Amen. God is so good to us. He gave us a standard of truth that nobody can take away. We got the Bible. What an honor to be able to go home and just listen to that thing. I mean, if you can stand it. You know, I used to listen to it, and don't get scared over this, but I used to listen to the Bible when I'd sleep, when I was younger in the Lord, and the devil come in the middle of the night and rip the headphones right off. They'd go flying across to me, he'd come and rip them off my head. I said, devil, eventually I got so tired of it, I just stopped listening to it at night because it would freak me out. Headphones go flying across the room. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want the word in me. I'll get in it all day long. He didn't want me getting it at night also. So now we just keep it playing in the room. We keep it playing. Keep it playing all the time. Is it playing in the house right now? It's playing in the house right now on the computer probably. Why do we do that? Because the devil doesn't like the word. Why do you play it when nobody's home? To keep the devil out of my house. Amen. Why? Because the word burns him. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that God, the devil trembles. The devil believes in God, but he trembles in James chapter 2:19. What would he tremble at? He says, David said, I tremble at your word. He trembles at the word of God. It puts fear in him because it reminds him of his imminent demise that's soon to come. Reba kesiti moto ma prakasi kia ma kesiti kia la matia ma ka. Robra kia se kede keloto ma prakasiti keloto ma prakasia. He's talking about love. What about love, Lord? Robra kesi keloto ma prakasiti keloto ma prakasia. There it is. He said to develop the new nature of love that is within. For your new nature has set you free. So lift up your hands and worship me, for as you worship me and extend your new nature in my presence, you will find that nature of love within you will develop, says the Lord. So allow my love to develop within you so you can sense my love, so you can feel that you are loved, and so that you can love those that surround you, says the Lord. For my love is strong, and my love is a mighty force. But now I've left it in your hands by my Spirit, to develop that which is within. For it is in you in seed form, says the Lord, and you must water that seed and allow it to grow. Allow my love to rise up within you. And as you press in through my love will become strong, and it is my love that will become one with you, and it is my love that you shall know, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Ooh, I feel really good right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. I like this. Father, in Jesus' name, blopra kesi kia moto makara kesi te kiloto mapari maka. Rombra kesi te kiloto mapra kesi te kiliti mapara bakia maka. So just continue. I want to remind everyone to, like he said, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend a lot of time praying in tongues. Pray, everyone say, pray in tongues, 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 pray in tongues. Meditate the word, 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 fast, 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 fast. Pastor Dan, that's weird. Why do you do that? Because you're going to remember it. That's why I do it at the end of every service, so I don't have to teach on it every time. I want you to remember to fast, pray, and meditate His Word. Those, the reason we do those things, it's not works. Some of the church world tries to tell you it's works. What it really is different channels that you can have an intimate relationship with Jesus through. It's just the way He says to draw near to me. He said to seek me with all your heart. There are different ways to seek God. Fasting is a way to seek God. Meditating His Word is a way to seek God's voice. Praying in tongues is a way to seek His Spirit. Fellowship with the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit gets intimate with your spirit. I mean, it's just the greatest. We got such an amazing thing He's given us. This side of glory, we can tap into His presence. Why doesn't that? Do it more than 15 minutes. You cannot, there is no way that you could spend 2 hours locked away in a room with God and not be able to feel His presence. It will come. Every time. It takes time. Sometimes you're so busy running around to your kids. All the stress. It just takes a little longer. Give it time. Keep pressing in. Keep singing the Spirit. I'm so stressed out all the time, Pastor Dan. I just know what to do. Sing in the Spirit. I can't sing. Sure you can. You got a beautiful voice. I don't think I do. God does. You got a beautiful voice. Oh, He loves to hear your voice. I sound like it. Rocks are coming out of my mouth or something. Don't worry about that. You just sing and let the joy of the Lord come through your heart and just, well, everything's breaking down, everything's crashing down. And we said, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But everything's so stressful. Do it anyways and you'll find out that the presence of God will come in your emotions, like He said. He said, but you be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What spiritual songs he talked about? Singing in the Spirit. I believe Paul did that all the time. He talked about it, 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray in my spirit. I will sing in my... I will pray... He said, I will pray of my spirit, I'll pray my understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, I'll sing up my understanding also, he said. Spiritual songs, spiritual songs, spiritual songs. You should just go about your day. Well, what is it any different if I pray or sing in the Spirit? Sure, His presence is going to come more when you sing, but you're praying the same thing. He says that He speaks in unknown tongue. He says, give thanks well, give thanksgiving. Magnify the Lord, another scripture says. Praising God, it's a form of worship. You praise the plan of God while you worship. I mean, it's just an amazing gift. So I want to encourage everybody to do that. We'll see you on Sunday. Just continue to press in. And he said something earlier in that tongue to grab a hold of the prophecies and meditate them. There's something in there. That's for us. That's for this local body. He's got the instructions for us. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Amen. Tax time's coming. Everybody listen. Say, I will be 100% honest on my taxes. Even if it's $1, I will not lie over it. Thank you. Please be honest in your taxes. There's no white lies. They're all darkness. You're going to destroy your finances for the whole year. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Okay? Be blessed. We'll see you Sunday.